Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1954 that a U.S. Congresswoman introduced a bill to do what? Was it A, to prohibit the distribution of obscene, lewd, lascivious, or filthy recordings? Was it B, to ban rock and roll music from radio broadcasts? Was it C, to outlaw the gyration of hips by singers on TV? Or was it D, to use patriotic music to combat communism? 1954 legislation to do what? And question number two. It was on this very day back in 1956 in Cleveland, Ohio, that police invoked a 1931 ordinance prohibiting what? Was it A, banning people under the age of 19 from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult? Or was it B, prohibiting drinking while dancing in clubs? Was it C, singing loudly in church services? Was it D, playing electric guitars? So the Cleveland police did what in 1956? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February 24th. Well, it was on this day back in 1873 that opera singer Enrico Caruso was born in Naples, Italy. Caruso's B-Day, 1873, today. And it was 67 years ago today, 1955, that Billboard reported that the 45 RPM single format was outselling the 78s for the very first time. 1955, today. Mozart's Piano Sonata No. 11 introduces our classical music news. It's entitled 15 Most Memorable Films About Classical Music. This is published in ClassicFM.com on January the 18th, 2023. When classical music and film come together, magic can happen. Join us as we explore some of the all-time great films about classical music and musicians. We hear so much great film music soundtracking our favorite films, but what about when the music itself is the basis for the plot? From the Golden Globe winning Tar, starring Cate Blanchett as a tyrannical and troubled maestro, to the impending biopics about the lives of Leonard Bernstein, maestro, and Joseph Boulogne, chevalier. 2023 is set to be classical music's biggest year in Hollywood to date. And as the former begins to sweep the floor at this year's award ceremonies, we look back more than 80 years to some of the most memorable times that Mozart has met the movies. Amadeus, 1984, telling the tale of Mozart's life and the rivalry between Mozart and fellow composers Salieri. This 1984 film was a huge success at the box office. The composer was baptized as Johannes Chrysostomus Wolfgangus Theophilus Mozart, but often called Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, from which the film's title is taken. This film is a real staple of classical music represented on the big screen. And by the way, upcoming concert is coming to Raleigh, Mozart Requiem, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts, this weekend in Raleigh, Friday, Saturday, February 24 and 25 at 8 p.m. Carlos Miguel Prieto is the conductor, North Carolina Master Chorale, Sibelius Symphony No. 7, and Mozart's Requiem. So go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 for details and ticket information. So what about the other 14 most memorable films about classical music? Well, there's The Pianist from 2002, in which a German officer in World War II takes pity on a Polish-Jewish musician who plays Chopin. And there's the 2023 film Tar, starring award-winning Cate Blanchett as the fictional first female conductor of a major German composer. Blanchett says, "It's not a film about conducting or even really about classical music. It's an examination on the corrupting nature of institutional power." Then there's George Gershwin's 1945 Rhapsody in Blue, a biographical film about a jazz virtuoso of the 20th century whose need for success destroys his relationships. Disney's Fantasia from 1940 is a series of short stories based on pieces of classical music from Bach, Tchaikovsky, Dukas, and Stravinsky. The 2009 film Coco Chanel and Igor Stravinsky is a wonderful combination of passionate music and a passionate love story set in Paris at the time of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. A Late Quartet, 2012, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman and Christopher Walken as members of a quartet struggling to stay together in the face of adversity. And then there's Paganini, The Devil's Violinist from 2013, which tells the story of the Italian violinist and composer Paganini, set in the 19th century. The Piano from 1993 tells the story of a mute pianist and her daughter who were abandoned on a beach in New Zealand who use music to communicate. Immortal Beloved is the 1994 film that investigates the identity of Beethoven's Immortal Beloved. Gary Oldman stars in this film. Meryl Streep stars opposite Hugh Grant in the 2016 film Florence Foster Jenkins, a comedy that highlights the real-life New York heiress known for her terrible singing as she strives to become an opera star. 1991's Impromptu stars Hugh Grant as Chopin in this biographical film about the composer's love affair with a French novelist. Hillary and Jackson, a 1998 film that documents the life and tragic death of a world-renowned cellist and her marriage to a conductor. 2012's Quartet is a film about four retirement home residents who come together to perform music from Verdi's Rigoletto. The retirees are retired opera singers, by the way. And last but not least, there's August Rush, the 2007 film about 11-year-old prodigy who runs away from an orphanage to New York City. This film is a heartwarming reminder that music is all around us. All you have to do is listen. And in blues and soul music news, we have this article titled, Smokey Robinson Reflects on His Motown Roots. This is published in People magazine on the 13th of February, 2023, by Rachel DeSantis. To call Smokey Robinson a music legend is an understatement. In 1959, the singer-songwriter was among the first artists signed to Motown Records, one of the first major black music labels, and as one of the 2023 Music Cares Persons of the Year on February the 3rd, he and Motown co-founder Berry Gordy, 93, are logging together honors. It's the first time the prize has been awarded to two individuals. This is a really special thing for me, says Robinson, 82, of being recognized by the Recording Academy's philanthropic arm. They've given it to me and Barry, who is my best friend, and he most certainly deserves it. The pair's relationship dates back six decades when a teenage Robinson auditioned for the manager of his idol, Jackie Wilson. He was rejected, but caught the attention of Gordy. He said, I'm going to start my own record company. We are not just going to make black music, we're going to make music for everybody, Robinson recalls of their meeting. Barry and I talk about it all the time, and we never dared to dream. We never even thought that Motown would become what it is. After 64 years in showbiz, the former Miracles frontman will release his new studio album, Gazmuths, in April. It's what I love, he says of making music. I can't find anything that replaces this for me. And he's quoted as saying, everybody gets a gift from God, and mine was to be able to write music. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Manufacturers Struggle to Keep Pace with Vinyl Record Demand. Demand for vinyl records has been growing in double digits for more than a decade. This is written by David Sharp, Associated Press, 26th of June, 2022. The arrival of the compact disc nearly killed off record albums, with vinyl pressing machines sold, scrapped, and dismantled by major record labels. Four decades later, with resuscitated record album sales producing double-digit annual growth, manufacturers are rapidly rebuilding an industry to keep pace with sales that reached $1 billion last year. Dozens of record-pressing factories have been built to try to meet demand in North America, and it's still not enough. The industry has found a new gear and is accelerating at a new pace, said Mark Michael, CEO and chairman of United Record Pressing, the nation's largest record producer in Nashville, Tennessee. Demand for vinyl records has been growing in double digits for more than a decade, and mass merchandisers like Target were bolstering their selection of albums just as the pandemic provided a surprising jolt. With music tours canceled and people stuck at home, music lovers began snapping up record albums at an even faster pace. Record album sales revenue grew a whopping 61% in 2021 and reached $1 billion for the first time since the 1980s, far outpacing growth rates for paid music subscriptions and streaming services like Spotify and Pandora, according to the Recording Industry Association of America. Record albums nearly spun into oblivion with sales overtaken by cassettes before the compact disc brushed both of those aside. Then came digital downloads and online piracy, Apple iPods and 99-cent downloads. Streaming services are now ubiquitous, but nostalgic baby boomers who miss thumbing through record albums in their local record stores helped to fuel a vinyl resurgence that started about 15 years ago. It coincided with the launch of Record Store Day to celebrate indie record stores, said Larry Jaffe, author of Record Store Day, the most improbable comeback of the 21st century. These days, though, it's more than just boomers. A younger generation is buying turntables and albums and cassette tapes, too. And a new generation of artists like Adele, Ariana Grande, and Harry Styles have been moving to vinyl, Jaffe noted. In Pittsburgh, taxi driver Jamila Grady is too young at age 34 to remember the heyday of record stores, but she finds records to be irresistible. She created wall art from some of the album covers from nearly 50 albums she bought since 2019, starting with Lemonade by Beyoncé. She acknowledges it's an indulgence since she already listens to music through SoundCloud, Apple Music, and Pandora. For record players, there's something so beautiful about taking the record, putting it on the player, and dropping the needle, she said. Manufacturers had to start nearly from scratch. The major labels shuttered their plants long ago, but new ones are coming online. Record makers launching over the last 10 to 15 years include Toronto-based Precision Record Pressing, Memphis Record Pressing, Cleveland's Gotta Groove Records, and Kansas's Quality Record Pressing. Jack White of White Stripes opened his own vinyl pressing plant, Third Man Pressing, in 2017 in Detroit, and pleaded with the major record labels to reopen manufacturing facilities. There are now about 40 plants in the U.S., most of them smaller operations, but challenges remain. Nationwide, backlogs are 6 to 8 months because of growing demand and supply chain disruptions of raw materials, including vinyl polymers, have caused problems, Michael said. It's not easy to launch a new pressing plant because there are only a handful of companies, none in the U.S., that make record pressing machines. Those machines are back-ordered as well. People can debate the sound quality, but it comes down to an emotional reaction, not technical specifications, said Bob Ludwig, a multi-Grammy winner who created Gateway Mastering Studios in Portland, Maine. A friend who listened to Ludwig's remastered version of Queen's Night at the Opera called it stunning and electric. I love the vinyl experience, all of it. To me, there is an electrifying sound when I play records that I don't feel from digital, says Mark Mazzetti, an independent A&R executive who works for Sting, Janet Jackson, and others at A&M Records. No one knows the ceiling for record growth because of the constrained supply, says Chris Brown, vice president for finance at Bull Moose Records, a record store chain in New England. New releases often fail to meet demand, and reorders often take longer, leaving little capacity for lesser-known eclectic albums, he said. Part of the fun of collecting records is being surprised, he said. But medieval stuff doesn't get printed, or there's a long wait. Mid-level stuff doesn't get printed. Record producers gather this week in Nashville for their annual trade event called Making Vinyl. People in the business are excited about the growth, and it's almost like printing money for manufacturers as sales soar to new heights every year, said Brian Ekus, president of Making Vinyl. No one knows how long the run will continue, so there's a sense that we should make hay while the sun shines, Ekus said. In Nashville, United Record Pressing launched in 1949 and never stopped producing records. It's currently in the midst of a $15 million expansion that will triple its capacity in the middle of next year. Michaels can't help but wonder how long the double-digit growth can be sustained, but he said he's optimistic about the future. It's both heartwarming and good for business to see high schoolers and young adults showing an interest in records, he said. I believe in music, and I believe in the importance of music in people's lives. I don't think that changes, he said.
Capital City skyline photo. Skyscrapers shine the sun so low in the sky. Secretaries at the hot dog vendors, cabs honk at the bicycle messengers, rolling by.
And from this capital city, we have this country and local music news item. Shania Twain is coming to Raleigh. This is written by Colleen Hammond on the 6th of December, 2022, in the News and Observer. Dust off those cowboy boots because Shania Twain is coming to town. The five-time Grammy Award winner announced she's adding Raleigh to her Queen of Me tour, which is named for her upcoming album of the same name. Charlotte already had been announced as a tour stop for June 28th. That show has sold out. Raleigh's PNC Arena show will be part of the newly announced second leg of her tour, but it looks like Twain won't be in the Triangle until much closer to the last day of summer. The second leg of her tour will kick off October 12, 2023, with a Raleigh stop on October the 18th, 2023. Tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster. The country pop superstar is known for hits like That Don't Impress Me Much, You're Still the One, and Man, I Feel Like a Woman. She received the Music Icon Award at the 2022 People's Choice Awards. Her dress from her music video for Man, I Feel Like a Woman is currently on display at the North Carolina Museum of History's The Power of Women in Country Music exhibit. Her Queen of Me album was due out on February the 3rd. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in 1954, that a U.S. Congresswoman introduced a bill to do what? Was it A, to prohibit the distribution of obscene, lewd, lascivious, or filthy recordings? Was it B, to ban rock and roll music from radio broadcast? Was it C, to outlaw the gyration of hips by singers on TV? Or D, to use patriotic music to combat communism? Correct answer, answer A, the prohibition of distributing lewd recordings. As noted in ClassicBands.com, rock and roll had just been born when Michigan Congresswoman Ruth Thompson introduced a bill in the House that would prohibit mailing any pornographic recording. The offense would be punishable by 5 years imprisonment and a $5,000 fine. Just who would decide what is pornographic, however, is unclear. Examples of banning include Hank Ballard's Work With Me, Annie, which had faced severe opposition from America's Federal Communications Commission because of overtly sexual lyrics. The added publicity immediately boosted the record's popularity, and attempts to restrict it failed. It shot to the top of Billboard's R&B chart for a seven-week stay. Britain's BBC banned the song Such a Night by Johnny Ray after listeners complained about its suggestiveness. Memphis police prohibited the Drifters' Honey Love from being loaded into jukeboxes due to what they considered suggestive lyrics. And in 1955, Mobile, Alabama radio station WABB received over 15,000 letters of complaint about the playing of quote-unquote dirty records. The station's response was a promise that they would censor all controversial music, especially rhythm and blues music. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1956 in Cleveland, Ohio, that police invoked a 1931 ordinance prohibiting what? Was it A, banning people under the age of 19 from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult? Was it B, prohibiting drinking while dancing in clubs? Was it C, singing loudly in church services? Or was it D, playing electric guitars? Correct answer, answer A, banning people under the age of 19 from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult. The original 1930s ordinance may have been a reaction to the onset of marathon dancing, in which financially strapped folks during the Depression would compete to win a few dollars by being the last dancer standing. The 1956 enforcement, however, appears to have been more of a reaction by older generations in the U.S. to the growing popularity of rock and roll music by teenagers. So let's close out today's program with the source of all this legal angst. Hey, as the Stones say, well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time. I like it.